We've not got any instrumental musicians today, but we're being accompanied by our COVID-recorded selves and our singers this morning, so I'm sure we'll be able to just enjoy worshipping together and being in God's presence with the aid of the technology. A notice from Chris Hill on Saturday morning, and this is especially because there is no tea and coffee this morning, you can come along to the Shoebox Coffee Morning at Oasis from 10 till 12. And I think we're aiming to raise the funds to cover the cost of shipping the shoeboxes. And I know that we sent well over 100 last year. I don't know if anybody knows the exact number. 150. Now, that was absolutely fantastic. I wonder if we can beat that this year and send even more, because we do it in love to people in need around the world. We will be having communion this morning, later on in our service, and just to say that everybody is welcome to share in communion if you know and love the Lord Jesus. And it is gluten-free as well. When we come to our collection, just to say that there are little bags that go around that are for the work of the church. So if you're a visitor, please feel no embarrassment in letting those pass by. There are also some little boxes which are for our sponsored children. And just so that you know what those are. And it's lovely to have some good news as well. We'll be praying about a lot of people in need later on, but I think Marna would like to just say a few words of thanks, having had some good news. And she's being very brave and coming to the front. Well done, Marna.
Good morning, Church Mama.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say a big, big thank you for all of your prayers during these months of my ongoing treatment at Christie's, and your loving kindness and care, and also to our great God, who has walked with me on this journey all these months. Praise be to the Lord. Thank you so much.
I think it would be good to pray for Marna, wouldn't it? Just stay here, Marna, and we'll pray for you. And we just want to say, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for walking with Marna through this difficult season. And we just thank you so much for all those good results this week, showing that the treatment has been effective and that you have worked in her body. And we pray now that you would keep her cancer-free and healthy. And we give you the glory, Lord, and we thank you so much for doing this. And we pray your blessing on Marna now. And we thank you for her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Let's continue our worship now in song, and we will stand if you're able to sing "The Lion of Judah, the Lamb that was slain."
You're the Lion of Judah, the Lamb that was slain. You ascended to heaven, and hell will reign at the end of the age, when the earth you will claim. You will gather the nations before you,
and the eyes of all
hey! and spirits that cannot be denied. As the Father has told us, for these you have died, for the nations who gather before you.
And the ears of all
first slide, please. Perhaps you could get the lights as well. Now, what on earth is going on there? Goodness me. Is this even suitable viewing for the church? Gore and danger. Where are we? Well, of course, this is a very well-known beach to many of us. This is the beach at Nevin. And strange things are inclined to happen at Nevin. And I had the privilege of being on a camp there this year, as did Sarah. Would you like to come up, Sarah? Well, I'm going to just ask you one or two questions. Let's have the next slide. Ah, I think you're actually on that one. So who are this lot?
So basically, they were the people who were in my tent and my tent leaders.
And how many did you know before you went?
I knew you, and that was it.
Yes. Yes. And with respect, I was in the background quite a bit, so you really went quite bravely, not knowing what you were getting into. You'd never been to Nevin before, had you?
No.
What was your overall experience? Was it good, or was it terrifying, or was it great, or what was? Tell me about it.
It was good. I made some friends, which was good, because I didn't know anybody at first, so most people kind of knew each other, but I made some good friends, had people to hang out with, and I thought kind of the like evening services that we did were very good. Like the speaker Pam was very good, and I feel like I learned quite a lot, especially kind of how to deal with my feelings, which as a teenager is quite a big thing. So that was good, yeah.
So what's a typical Nevin day like?
Ooh, good question. It was a long time ago. I mean,
you've mentioned that we have an evening service. What did
yeah.
we do in the mornings? What did you get up to?
Well, in the mornings we'd meet with our like tent groups and our tent leaders, and we'd have like a quiet time, and we'd talk about God and read some Bible verses, things like that. And then we'd have breakfast, do activities, have lunch, do more activities, which was like fun stuff. Like we did swimming in the sea, and it was really cold. It was fun. And
one or two things going on the beach here. One of the poor old leaders got buried, didn't he?
Oh.
To go to the next one. There we are, not much left of him there.
Oh.
But it is a glorious place, isn't it? It's a lovely area. How far is the beach from the camp?
Oh, it's about like a 15-minute walk from the camp.
And is that down heavy roads?
No, it's like a footpath, and yeah, it's quite a nice walk. It was good.
We had an interesting variation this year in that instead of the old cliff path that wound its way down the cliff, there was a Jacob's Ladder in place, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Which was a little bit scary, and the council had put this in to move us away from an area where there was some building work going on and some stabilisation of the cliffs. But lovely big beach at the bottom there. And we did swimming, didn't we? And there were one or two involuntary baptisms, weren't there, which was quite fun. And all sorts of games. And then back in the evenings, tell us about an evening meeting.
So in the evening meeting, there'd be a lot of singing. And it was nice because the young people would be kind of in the band and playing instruments and singing, which was a nice opportunity for them. And then we'd have the speaker, Pam, who would talk about God. And yeah, kind of... We'd have kind of different topics for different nights, but there was quite a lot about feelings and, yeah, things like that, like I said. So, and then more singing and then hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate, most important time of the day.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so we looked at our identity, who we are, our identity in God. Where do we fit into God's plan? And just helping us to explore some of the big questions of life. And I think one of the great things about Nevin is that you can... share together, no question is a wrong question. It's just a good time to ask those things that you really do want to ask and see where other people are at and see what God's doing in other people's lives. And it's a lovely, fun environment, isn't it?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Tell us about the food, because I know you were nervous about the food before going.
Yeah, the food was good. It was very good. And the best thing was that you could get seconds. But in general, yeah, there was lots of good food. And the vegetarian options were good as well, because I'm a pescatarian. And lots of nice puddings.
Mm.
And the eggy bread, which I heard was very good. It was indeed very good. Yeah.
Now, it's worth giving an honourable mention to quite a few other folks, because from this church, we had Susie went and cooked, didn't she, for half a camp?
And Stew.
And Stew, yes. Chris Hill and George were on an earlier camp. Joe. Janet Short, Joe, Keith and Mavis Watkinson, and of course Carol Griffiths had come all the way up from Weymouth to be on one of the other camps as the head cook. And the cookhouse is a great source of TLC, shall we say, providing blessing to all the rest of us. I was there wardening, which means looking after the site and mending things and keeping it all working. We had a day without any water, which I had to keep things going. And I think quite a lot of people weren't actually too aware that there wasn't any water, because we managed to keep that going, which was good. We do have a tank on site, so we were having to boil water for drinking and stuff. We didn't have any big storms this year, which was my huge relief. But we did have two wet days. And if you move on one more, please. That's in the climbing wall in Carnarvon, yes, and again. Archery. Teddy is one of the mini campers, so sometimes leaders come with their children who are too young for the camp age, and they're mini campers, and they have a great time. In fact, there were five mini campers, weren't there, at least. This was crazy golf inside the marquee. So each of the teams were given an area. This was on one of the wet days. They were able to use any of the equipment in the games tent and some of the furniture from the marquee, and they had to design a hole, and then the different teams moved around playing each other's crazy golf hole. Oh, that was quite fun. It worked really, really well. I think they're using a spade as a golf club there, which is interesting. And I'm still not sure I believe in this, because I didn't see it. I slept through the Northern Lights. So this was one of the other leaders. You can just see a little Nevin tent at the bottom there, catching the light. Apparently there was a really spectacular display of the Northern Lights on the Monday of camp. What I did enjoy was the stars. If you do get up in the night, the stars at Nevin are just amazing. And you can just see such a spread of the Milky Way. And on one of the videos we had earlier on that David animated, we were moving away from Earth and out through the solar system and out into the galaxy, just reminding us that God made it all. And when you see the galaxies spread out in front of you, it's just awesome. Oh, what was going on there? That was a last night campfire, which was quite fun. I'm not actually sure if that was our camp or an earlier one, but we all do a campfire. That's a good source of fun. And then this is actually the beginning of the season, but the same happens at the end of the season. Another team comes and we take it all down and put it all away. And you might spot one or two faces on there that you recognise. So quite a big operation Nevin is. And we had over 160 children and young people through the site this year, spending time together, having fun and learning more about God. So I think you asked me that if you could possibly be put in touch to go on a what sort of course?
It's like the speaker, Pam, approached me about maybe going on like a young leaders course, which would be good because I'm thinking about being a leader on one of the younger Nevin camps next year, because I got asked about doing that a couple of times. So I think that'd be a good thing to do.
And that would be absolutely fantastic. And we love to see the progression of folks coming as campers, coming as younger leaders. And I had the privilege of being on the camp, being led by somebody who had been a teenager with Andrea and me when we led camps a few years ago. And it's just lovely seeing the generations coming through. So let's pray for the Nevin camps. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all that you did on the site at Nevin this year. You looked after us and provided us with safety. But we thank you above all for the way that you have touched so many lives, caused people to grow and just open our eyes to how wonderful you are. And we thank you for Sarah and the camp that she enjoyed. And we pray that you will continue to bless her and cause her to grow in her faith. And we do pray for the Nevin committee as they plan for next year. That's already starting. And we ask that next year's season will be even better than this year, and that it will be honouring to you, and that many lives will be changed. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Are there any more slides? Oh, yes. That's after we've taken it all down. The cows have moved back in again. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you.
We'll be having a time of intercessions during the communion later on in the service. We're going to continue in an attitude of thanksgiving now as we have a few moments of prayer. I just wondered if anybody would like to pray out loud very short prayers of thanksgiving or praise. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it's just good to be in your presence. Amen. Amen.
Lord, we just thank you that you continue calling us and growing us, Lord. In
yes. Your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be happy.
Amen. Amen. And we do thank you, Lord, that we are in your hands. Thank you that you are sovereign. Thank you that you're with us this morning. And we just thank you for that privilege of being able to call you Father. And we do offer to you this morning our prayers and our praise. And we ask that they would be an acceptable offering to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And we're going to continue our worship as we sing two songs. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we will follow that by Cornerstone, during which we will take up the offering.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us and given to us. And we just give you these offerings as a token of our love and pray that they may be used wisely in this place and elsewhere for the blessing of many in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. And we'll pray for the youngsters as well as they go out to continue elsewhere in this building. I think there's a table in the hallway. Heavenly Father, we do so thank you for our youngsters. We ask your blessing on them. They are precious to you. Please show yourself to them and let them grow in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Alistair's going to be continuing the epic journey of Jonah this morning, and our reading is from Jonah chapter 3. Once again, we will hear Jonah chapter 3, headed Jonah Goes to Nineveh. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to that great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message that I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let the people and the animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion, turn from his fierce anger, so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for Alistair, who is going to speak to us. We pray that you will speak through him, and may your mind be made known to us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much indeed to Howard. Here's a question I suspect you've never been asked before. What would you do if you'd just been vomited onto the beach by a great fish? I suspect nobody has ever asked you that question before. I suspect you will get up, you will shake off the seaweed, you will dust off the sand. You'd probably have a shower because you've been in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights, so you want to get rid of all the gunk. But then what are you going to do? Maybe you could be a celebrity. I mean, after all that you've been through, You are going to be a social media sensation, aren't you? Absolute sensation. You're going to be invited onto all the reality TV shows. There will be book deals. Sponsors are going to be queuing up for you to endorse their products. Bird's Eye Fish Fingers, top of the list. You could be a celebrity. Maybe you could be an entrepreneur. There's Waterworld down at Stoke. Water parks are pretty big business these days. You can make a lot of money during the long hot days of summer. In theory. Maybe you can call it Jonah's Water World. Slide through the belly of a whale on the biggest water slide in Europe. You will get the customers flooding in, won't you? Maybe you could be a conservationist. Great fish, we'll call it a sperm whale. Sperm whales are absolutely incredible. They can dive to a depth of up to 3 kilometres. They can hold their breath for an incredible 2 hours. They've got the biggest brain in the animal kingdom. This great fish, this whale, is going to get a lot of really bad publicity. So maybe you could launch a campaign. Teach people about whales. Teach them about other marine mammals. Teach them about the fragile ocean environment. Maybe you could be a conservationist. I mean, after all that you've been through, you're going to have so many opportunities for fame and fortune, aren't you? Of course, the important question is, what did Jonah do next? Well, he waited for God to tell him what to do next. He did not have to wait very long because we read the most wonderful words of forgiveness and grace and love. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. What grace, what forgiveness. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. And this time Jonah obeyed. And he set off from wherever he'd come ashore on that beach to the great city of Nineveh. Now, Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria, the bitter enemies of Israel. If you like geography, today you can find the ruins of ancient Nineveh across the Tigris River from the well-known city of Mosul, the modern city of Mosul, which you might have heard of in the news. It's in northern Iraq, about 250 miles north of Baghdad. And we're told a couple of things about Nineveh. First of all, we're told it's a great city. Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Now, if you take that literally, it means that a journey through Nineveh, I mean, its diameter would have to be about 40 or 50 miles if it took 3 miles to get through it, 3 days to get through it. So what we know about Nineveh is that the widest point, maybe it was about 3 miles. So maybe we need to sort of think about it in a slightly different way. Another way of translating it is like this. Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. So a typical diplomatic visit to Nineveh is arrival, business, and departure. Maybe, of course, it's just a way of speaking about greater Nineveh. We talk about greater Manchester, don't we? Greater London. So it's, as well as Nineveh, it's all the towns and the area around it. Maybe it's just a Hebrew idiom. Talking about 3 days to go through, it's like an idiom, a proverb, just to get through to us in case we've forgotten that this Nineveh is an exceedingly great city. So it's a large city. Not only that, it's also an evil city. We know that because we are told in chapter 1 that the very reason Jonah's sent to Nineveh is because its wickedness has come up before the Lord. So Nineveh is a city given over to greed and immorality. It's a city given over to the worship of pagan gods. It's a city given over to bloodthirsty violence. The Assyrian army, well, they've got a reputation. They are brutal, they are cruel, they are inhumane. So put it all together, think Sodom and Gomorrah, Nazi stormtroopers, the corruption, the decadence, the depravity of the Roman Empire, and you've got a pretty clear picture of what Nineveh is like. And Jonah arrives in Nineveh, freshly showered, clean. He arrives in Nineveh. And at last, he begins to do what the Lord has commanded him to do. And he begins to preach. And his message is very simple. It is very direct. It's very clear. 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's it. That is his message. That is his sermon. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's 8 words. 4 words in Hebrew. I have never preached an 8-word sermon in my life, as you will well testify. Most of them, I think, are probably around 3,000 words. I mean, how would you like it if I preached an 8-word sermon every week? And don't answer that question, please. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Of course, that might actually just be a summary of what Jonah said. Maybe it's just an abbreviated summary. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. How would you have expected the people of Nineveh to react to that message? This terrible, terrible place. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. He's not from round here, is he? He's got a strange accent. He's barking mad, let's be honest. Sure, I caught a whiff of fish just as he walked in. It's not how we do it, is it? We would get together with all the churches in Sandbach. We would organise planning meetings, prayer meetings. We would have a publicity campaign, a social media blitz. We would book venues. We would book speakers and so on. It is not how we would do it, is it? You wouldn't think it would have much chance of success. I mean, Jonah just skipped it all and he just went preaching, walking up and down the streets. You wouldn't think that would have any chance of success, would you? I mean, what's your plan for reaching Nineveh? We're sending Jonah. Who else? Just Jonah. What's he going to do? Well, he's going to walk up and down the streets and he's going to preach. What's his message? 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. What's your plan B? That's it. That's all he did. We'll look at the response to his preaching another time, but I think for today I just want to focus on Jonah and his preaching, because two things struck me about it. First of all, Jonah spoke with clarity and simplicity, didn't he? I mean, whether this is his actual sermon, whether it's an abbreviated summary of what he said, it is clear, it is direct, and it's simple. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Clear and direct and simple. And I think that has a special application to preachers and speakers and worship leaders and group leaders. And Paul picks up this sort of principle in an important part of 2 Corinthians. He says this, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we've renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. And look at this next bit. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Setting forth the truth plainly. I mean, that is the essence, isn't it, of the joy and the privilege of opening up the Word of God to other people. It involves getting into the heart of what Scripture says. It involves drawing out its truth clearly and directly and simply. And it involves applying it to the hearts and minds of the people so they can see their need of the Lord and His grace, His help, His salvation, setting forth the truth plainly. So, you know, pray for your worship leaders, your group leaders, your speakers and preachers. Simply pray for them that God will give them all the grace and the power and the wisdom to open up the wonderful truths of Scripture and then apply those truths to the hearts of the hearers clearly and simply and directly. But of course, it also has special application to all of us, doesn't it? A little while ago, our old coffee maker completely packed up. We'd had it years and it just gave up. So we bought a new one. It wasn't very expensive, which perhaps might explain what I'm going to say next, because when I got the instructions out, I couldn't make head or tail of them. I mean, it might be me getting old, and it probably is, but I couldn't make head or tail of them. There were no words. It was just pictures. So there we are. That's just the first couple of pages. It goes on and on a little bit like that. And I looked at it and I thought to myself, I'm not entirely sure what on earth I'm supposed to do with it and what I'm supposed to put where, what I'm supposed to fill up and all these other things, what I'm supposed to do before I even use it, because you've got to run it through umpteen times first. Fortunately, our daughter, Rebecca, she's got a similar model, so she FaceTimed us and gave me like an idiot's guide to working it. And when you've got words, it's an awful lot more helpful. But as I say, it might just be me getting old. But if anybody's got a Tassimo machine and needs any help, I am your man now. I'm your man. And I think, isn't there a danger that when we come to sharing our faith, there's always the danger we can be equally confusing, especially if we don't really know what we believe and why we believe, or we're muddled in our thinking and are weak in our grasp of God's word. Or use jargon, Christianese. Christians and jargon, we just cannot help ourselves, can we? Maybe the church has developed a little bit of self-awareness these days from the ultra-cheesy phrases of the 80s and 90s. Maybe we no longer name it and claim it. We talk less about being unequally yoked to people. And the infamous hedge of protection that we always talk about. But you know what we're like. There's always more Christianese. There's always more jargon just around the corner, isn't there? I mean, we might talk about a God incidence. We know exactly what we mean. Of course we do. It's fairly straightforward if you're moving in Christian circles. But you wonder how people react who've got no connection with the church, who hear us mashing two normal words together to make another word so it sounds a bit more spiritual and interesting. Presumably what we mean is we've noticed a coincidence, in inverted commas, in our lives, and we want to attribute it to the Lord, and that's perfectly right, isn't it? Why not use just a few more words to clearly communicate the meaning? Because then, of course, people might be able to say to us, well, you know, you noticed the hand of God on your life. What's that all about? And so on. Which I suppose begs the question, why don't Christians talk like normal people? But, you know, let's work hard to know what we believe and why we believe. Let's be clearer in our thinking and stronger in our grasp of God's word. And let's seek to share our faith with clarity and simplicity without Christianese and jargon. So Jonah spoke with clarity and simplicity. He also spoke with conviction and power. I think last week, Sandra was talking a little bit about the Olympics. And I don't know if you watch the Olympics or any of the Paralympics that are on until Sunday. I think I found myself sort of dipping in a little bit. And I found myself sometimes watching sports I didn't really know very much about. One of those sports I saw happened at Nevin. And one of the sports I didn't know very much about was archery. And one of the things I learned about archery is that South Korea are really, really good at archery. South Korea won the gold medal in all five archery events. They've won the gold medal in some of those events for the last 10 Olympics. So they are pretty good at archery. And watching those arrows fly through the air at about 140 miles an hour, hit the center of a target about 70 meters away in just over a second is pretty awesome, isn't it? Well, if you like, the Lord turned the words of Jonah into arrows, and they pierced the hearts of the people of Nineveh. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. We'll look at that, as I say, next time. But again, it has special application, doesn't it, to preachers, to speakers, to worship leaders, to group leaders, because when the Holy Spirit is truly at work, he makes the words of the speaker fly like arrows into the hearts of the hearers. So again, pray for your preachers and your speakers and your worship leaders and group leaders, that anointing of the Spirit to take those words and really thrust them home to the hearts and minds of the hearers. Ivor Powell, who was a well-known Welsh evangelist, said this: scintillating eloquence may captivate people, but it's the power of God that changes lives. It's when the arrows fly home to the hearts of the people. But of course, we also need to look to God for that anointing on our own personal witness, on those times when we share our own faith, those few words we may speak. I mean, that was one of the secrets of the spread of the gospel in the early church. You may remember this verse from the book of Acts. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And that's what we need when the Spirit of God is at work within us, to apply and to speak his word with boldness. And, you know, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, God can take a few words of stumbling witness and it can transform the lives of other people. Just a simple few words of witness. I think of the story of Sinclair Ferguson. He's a well-known Scottish preacher and theologian. When he was about 15, back in the 1960s, he was really beginning to think about the Christian faith, and he had lots and lots of questions, you know, whizzing round in his mind. And one day he was just sort of trudging home in the snow. He lived in Scotland, it was snowing, trudging home in the snow, and he bumps into this sort of small elderly man. They start talking, and after a little bit of small talk, the elderly man simply says to him, "Son, are you saved?" That's all he said. And Sinclair Ferguson said, those words were like a knife to my soul. And it was through those words and other words that God drew him and guided him into his kingdom. Sinclair said he often looked for that man to find him, how to tell him those few words, turn my life upside down. Never saw him again. A few words, a few sentences are all it takes when the Spirit's at work to make those words fly like arrows into the hearts of the hearer. So it's with such confidence, that sort of confidence, that Jonah was walking through the streets of Nineveh. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. I'm sure there were many imperfections in Jonah's preaching. Knowing Jonah from of old, sure there were many imperfections, but that was his message. And Jonah brought Nineveh the message that Nineveh needed to hear. And Jonah discovered, of course, that that word can only go with power to the hearers when, first of all, it's pierced your own heart with power as well. So let's pray together. Father, many of us can just pause to give you thanks for the people who first told us about Jesus. And perhaps the people who first spoke to us about him were perhaps stumbling in their witness and maybe used just a few words that perhaps felt very inadequate. But Lord, we're so grateful that you can take these words that we say and use them to transform lives. And we're so grateful, Lord, for the way that you've worked in many of our lives to bring us to a living faith in Christ. And as we go out and face another week, Father, we do pray for those opportunities to share this glorious good news of Jesus with others. And we do pray, Father, that we might speak clearly and directly and simply, but above all, without anointing of your Holy Spirit, that our words may be like arrows that go to the hearts of our hearers. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to, are we going to sing a song now? Is that right? We are going to sing a song. Is it Blessed Be Your Name, or is that the last one? Last, brilliant. So Blessed Be Your Name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. Can we get the lights again, please?
Thank you. That's fine, I think. Or maybe put them all off will be all right, Bernie, I think. Thank you. That's better. That's fine. Thank you. So this is God's table. Come all of you. You're invited to dine on the banquet of heaven. You are God's people. Come all of you. You're invited to sit with your Lord. Here is God's feast. Come all of you. You're invited to share in the bread and wine. The table is waiting for you, all of you, of every age. You're invited to be here. Here is bread. Those who are hungry for food and those who are fed but hunger for justice. This table is our meeting place. This bread our nourishment. Come all who hunger. Here is wine. Those who are thirsty for water and those who are filled but thirst for righteousness. This table is where God's justice is met. This wine the sign of blessing. Come all who thirst. This is an open table, and all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and seek to love him more are welcome. So come with your questions and your doubts. Come with your living done and undone. Come with all that you are and all who you are. For here we meet Jesus in bread and wine, around the table God has set. Your seat is waiting. Take a few moments for quiet confession, quiet personal confession, when in the stillness we can just acknowledge before the Lord any ways in which we have displeased him and let him down. So a few moments for quiet personal confession. Let's pray together. So, Father, we want to confess all of our sins to you. And we thank you so much for the truth of your word, because you said that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just, and you will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we come before you now with humble hearts, turning away from our sin and seeking your forgiveness. So please restore to us the joy of our salvation. And in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. On the Thursday night, Jesus gathered with his friends in an upper room. They shared a meal together. Then as darkness fell, Jesus broke some bread and took some wine. And he asked his friends to remember him every time they broke bread together. And because we are his disciples today, we remember that story and how the story continues in this place today. And we remember Jesus as we break this bread together and share this wine with each other. We are doing as Jesus asked us to do, and we are glad to do so. And let's pray together. Once again, in your presence, we are so grateful for the wonder of your love. We know that it was in love that you spared not your own son, but freely gave him up for us all. And we're so thankful that through his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead, we are forgiven. We are restored. We are new creations. We are saved. We are heirs of eternal life. Father, we are so grateful. And as we eat bread, as we drink wine together, together may we remember Jesus, all that he is and all that he's done. And in his name we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
So as we mentioned earlier, the bread is gluten-free, the wine is alcohol-free. We serve you in your seats, and we eat the bread as soon as we receive it, but we keep the cups until everyone's served, and then I'll invite us to drink together. So if we can invite the stewards just to come and serve the bread, please. In the same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Thank you. And again, we'll keep the cups until we've all been served. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Let's continue in prayer. Let's pray. And Father, we come before you once again with such grateful hearts for the wonder of our salvation. We just want to say thank you for your love gift of Jesus to be our Saviour. And we know, Father, that because you've given us the gift of your Son, that we can come to you with that confidence, knowing just how much you love us, how precious we are in your sight, how we're graven on the palm of your hand. And Lord, with that awareness of your love, we want to pray for those who remain in need at this time. Continue to lift into your presence George and Kay Bayliss. We lift before you Jean Bacon and Elizabeth Bailey. We think of Harold Jinks and Angela Tunney, and we think of Susie. Continue to remember those who are suffering the effects of COVID or post-COVID. We continue to pray for Judith and Rob McKenna, for Emma, for Lee, for Callum, for Jamie. Lord, into your loving arms we lift these folks and simply pray, Lord, for your healing love, for your peace, for your wonderful touch upon their lives to renew health and strength once again. Thank you, Father, that nothing is too difficult for you. So, Lord, let your healing love flow, we pray. And again, Father, we don't want to be slow to give thanks, so we want to thank you for Marna's testimony. And we thank you too for Sarah's testimony and all that we've heard about Nevin. Lord, this reminds us that you are still at work in such wonderful ways, and we never want to be slow to thank you and praise you for all your goodness and all your grace and the many ways in which you work. So, Lord, we gather up our prayers and we offer them in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to close with one final song, and it's "I have heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all, the Father's song."
I have heard so many songs, listen to a thousand times, but there is one that sounds above their own. The Father's song, the Father's song, your song you don't have begun for eternity. Let us gather melody, let the angels sing.
Father, we praise you once again that you are a God of grace and love and power. And we praise you that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has sent us out into all the world to preach the glorious gospel of his kingdom. So please, will you confirm us in this mission and help us to speak and live the glorious good news through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.